Well, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Sing about it now. Stand to your feet. And when I am alone, when I am alone, when I'm so alone, give me Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? We had church here last night. You know what? How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord? I think it was just one of the most outstanding messages I've heard in a long, long time. The word of God is so true, so real, and so on time in our life. Look at somebody and say, I enjoyed church last night. Now I ask him, did you enjoy church last night? Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you let him, give him a big hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, do you really love him this morning? Give him a big hand clap of praise. He's worthy of our praise today. Somebody say praise the Lord. More of that. Give me Jesus. It's just so good to be in the house of God. It's raining outside. I believe it's going to rain in here today, don't you? How many of you need a good shower and a blessing this morning? How many of you come to be a blessing this morning? Somebody say hallelujah. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise.
When I am alone.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Then when I'm
God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Amos, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. This is from Russ Berry. It says, my five-year-old grandson William Maines fell this afternoon from a countertop and hit his head on a tile floor. He put a pretty nasty gash and bruise on his head. His parents took him to the hospital in Shreveport. They did a CAT scan and found a little bleeding. They're keeping him tonight, so please have the church pray for him. Thank you, and may God bless. So we certainly want to pray for that child, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. I want to pray for Sister Michelle Swafford, sends this in, that says, please pray for my dad, Gary Manuel, for his health. Also pray for my granny, May Manuel. She has been having some problems with her heart. So we're asking that we would remember that need as we pray. Pray for a friend of Brother Randy Scott by the name of Rich, whose mother has been diagnosed with lung cancer. So let's remember that prayer request. Brother Baker wants to offer this testimony, wants to praise the Lord for healing his wife. Thank God and thank you for all your prayers. We love you all. So we just thank God for touching Sister Baker. This is another request Brother Byron Palmer turned in for the little five-year-old boy, William Maine. So that we just want to certainly take that child to her heart. Sister Bernice or Beatrice from Florida having surgery tomorrow. Pray for God's direction. Also, her father has colon cancer. They're asking that we would remember those prayer requests as we pray. Want to pray for Kathy. Actually, I've got a note here. Please pray for Kathy Hummelsign. She was diagnosed with end-stage bone cancer, and this came into the library, so we certainly want to pray for that need today. Have an unspoken prayer request. Jesus Christ knows all about. Brother Carter Lawson sends that in. Brother Matt Carter is sick this morning, needs healing. Let's pray for him. Sister Bonnie Potter says to please pray for Mark and Heather Potter. They both have the flu. Thank you, and may God bless. So we'll pray for that need this morning. Just three announcements before we pray this morning. Want to welcome to the service this morning the Abe Weeb family from Carrot River, Saskatchewan, Canada. Where would they be? Would you just raise your hand right here? God bless them. Give them a nice hand this morning. Certainly glad to have those folks with us. We want to welcome to our assembly this morning, Sister Bonnie Potter and family who moved here from Ohio. So we certainly want to welcome them to this assembly. Raise your hand back here somewhere in the back. God bless this family. Give them a nice hand this morning. Brother Keith Phillips says he wants to thank the Lord publicly for healing him. Thank the Lord for that this morning. Brother Howard Collins says to please pray for Sister Yvetta Collins. She has an ear infection and sinus infection. Also a special unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about those needs. Brother Wes Willis says there'll be a short meeting in the fellowship hall after church for those youth who want to go to the Murfreesboro Youth Banquet. So remember that. Well, we got a lot going on. God's still on the throne. Aren't you glad about it? My Lord. Three people's glad. What's the rest of you thinking this morning? Are you glad he's still real? Yeah. Give him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You might as well wake up. We're going to have church with you or without you. So everybody wake up. If you look and see somebody's asleep, I'm not going to tell you to slap them, but wake them up. Amen. We're going to have church here today. Such a privilege. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. A lot of folks here this morning got needs. We believe God's still on the throne. Could we stand this morning? Brother Amos, if you would come, lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's invite His presence into this service today. Are you glad you're a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Are you glad you're on your way to heaven?
Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Amos, God bless you, buddy.
Amen. I might just take this moment to say that I praise the Lord by way of testimony that my voice is getting stronger. I appreciate you all praying for me and your kind consideration of that fact. It's just little by little. Amen. The doctor did tell me it would take a little while for it to build back, and it's coming back. I see the more I use it, it's getting stronger each and every time. So we just praise the Lord for that. I also want to say this, that we have many, many folks around the world, as it's already been mentioned. And I'd just like to take this opportunity. I can't mention them all, but I know of several that rely heavily on the ministry of this church. Some of them are close, and some of them are very far away and in very remote locations of the world. But they look to this church, the ministry of this church, to help them along the way. And I wonder if we couldn't all this morning just give them a great big God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning for these requests. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's an opportunity and a great, not just an opportunity, but a privilege, Lord, to be here this morning, dear God. We want to certainly take our liberty. We want you to take your liberty. But, dear God, we want to take our liberty, Lord, to praise you. And, Father God, give our heart to you this morning and give our thoughts to you, dear God. As the word comes forth, dear God, may we express our gratitude and our praise to you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done and what you're doing in the services here, Father God. Lord, it's going on around the world. Lord, you're using your ministry, dear God, to get this bride, Lord, to where she should be, and she's so much in love. You don't have to beat her. You don't have to whip her. Lord, she's got a desire for you, dear God, because her desire is for you, dear God. And Lord, she's bringing her flesh under subjection, her spirit and so forth, under subjection to the King of her soul. So, dear God, we thank you for that, dear God, Lord. And we bring these requests before you, dear Jesus, this morning. Lord, I think of the child that's fallen from the countertop, Lord. And Lord, we're fragile. We're easily broken. Our bodies, we're subject to mistake, Lord. And in this body and in this frame that we're in, this zone that we're in of this world, it's Lord, accidents happen. Dear God, we pray for that little one, dear God, that you would just bring a healing, Lord, where there's been bleeding, Lord, where there shouldn't be bleeding. Dear God, we ask for a rapid, speedy recovery, Lord. That one that's got that bone cancer, Lord. Father God, we pray, dear God, that you would bring healing, Lord. We've seen miracles. We've seen Brother Keith testifying. We've heard others, dear God, are testifying to your goodness of what you've been doing, Lord. You answer prayer. We've seen that happen. I've seen that happen far away. I've seen it happen close by. And Lord, regardless of circumstances, Lord, you told us in your word, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Lord, it's always in your will when we get draw nigh to you. So God, help us, we pray, the remainder of these requests, O Lord. There was many, dear God, some from far away, unspoken prayer requests this morning. Lord, the youth banquet coming up, we pray that you'll have your way. The young folks, Lord, we pray that you would just help them, dear God, as they've received experiences at camp and other places, God, may they continue on. God, may we as spiritual encourage those, Lord. Encourage our young people to press on and help them, Lord Jesus, and look out for them, we pray. God, I pray you'll bless the remainder of the service to bring forth the word this morning in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen.
God bless you. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming, I pray this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. Well, we've wore this song out time and time again, but I believe it's more true right now than we've ever seen in our life. And if we live till next week, it'll be more true then. I believe He's coming back just like He said. You believe that with all your heart. How many of you are going to sing with me this morning? I hope the rest of you enjoy listening to us. How many of you are going to participate this morning? Say, I will participate, Brother Louis. God bless your heart. Let's sing about it. Sing, everybody.
High upon a mountain, from where He ascended.
Oh, yes.
The angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, don't you stand here grieving for this one.
This morning. Amen. Let's sing that little song this morning. I promised Brother Eddie Yance, this is his all-time favorite song, and it is a good little song. I promised him a couple of weeks ago we'd sing it, and I want to sing it just for Eddie Yance this morning. I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Is that your testimony this morning? I only wish it had been a whole lot more of them that I'd have given. I wasted a lot of miles. Did you? But I want to make every mile count right now. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's sing that this morning if you would. I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. And I don't regret the times I've trusted in His Word. I've seen the years go by, many days without a song. Oh, but I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Sing it now. No, I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. And I don't regret the times I've trusted in His Word. I've seen the years go by, many days without a song. And I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Let's sing that verse now. Not many miles to go. I've walked the straight and narrow, long has been the road. Though slower steps I now take, I'll soon reach my goal. Not many miles to go, and I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. No, I don't regret the times I've trusted in His Word. Many days without a song. Oh, but I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Brother Larry Elliott's got us a song today, if he'll sing it this time. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Amen. Give Brother Larry a nice hand.
The desire is just that you worship through the singing. That's all that we ask for up here, is that we all enter into worship. See. More than anything, more than anything, I love you, Jesus. More than anything, more than words can. More and more each day, I love you, Jesus, more than anything, more than anything, more than anything. I love you, Jesus, more than anything, more than words can say. More and more each day. I love you, Jesus, more than anything. No other name but Jesus. No other name I know. No other name more beautiful to me. That's why I love Him so. No other name but Jesus. No other name but my Lord. No other name more beautiful to me. That's why I love Him so. That's why I love Him so. That's why I love Him so.
That way and says, get us a course. All right. Let's sing this. We sung the other night, and I tried to sing a verse, and I didn't know it, but how many wants to go home? Me too. I believe He's getting us ready.
Come, sweet Jesus, take me from this place. I really don't belong here now. I want to see Your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. I really want to see.
Together. Oh Lord Jesus, truly that is a desire of our hearts today. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help each of us that we can be prepared for that great day. Many of us have been living for you for many years of our life. The expectation, the anticipation of your coming is something that we've looked for and longed for years. How many, Lord, have we buried our wives, husbands, mothers, fathers, children, our loved ones? They went down with that anticipation. Of course, we're taught by your prophet that that's the reason that they will awake in that freshness, because they went that way looking for the coming of the Lord. And when they awake, they will arise with that same freshness of his coming. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us that we can be prepared. And we know the preparation comes by the washing of the water, by the word, to make us ready to meet you. Speak to us today from your word, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read again 1 Corinthians chapter 13 today, if you would. Let's read verse 1 through verse 7. Hope you're not getting tired of hearing these scriptures. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. Glad to have you in the presence of God today. Let's look at verse 8. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now the word here, fail, is the word that is used to be for the same word for the devil, which means he's unemployed. That's what it means, kategorio, which is the Greek word. It does not mean that prophecies will be made and then they'll fail to come to pass. But prophecies will be made and they will be fulfilled. They will have reached their terminating point. And when a prophecy reaches its terminating point and is fulfilled, it is no longer valid then. It's not something that you any further look for it to come to pass. So that prophecy is rendered idle or unemployed. Whether there be prophecies, they will be fulfilled or left unemployed. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I marvel at the message, folks. Why they want prophecy to be done away with. Why they want tongues to stop. But they want knowledge to be exalted. Now the very same verse of scripture that said tongues is going to cease also says knowledge will be done away. Come on now. So we've got to put these in the right timeline, or we make the word of God say what we want it to say. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now charity is a steady, permanent element by which God gives in this life, and charity will actually be in eternity because charity projected forth and came from eternity. Now we know that in the sense of faith, we will not walk by faith in heaven, and in there our faith will be terminated by sight, but faith and many of these virtues of God will always be in eternity because they are attributes of God. But yet many of the gifts which are now temporal, which are given to bring edification and strength to the body, will never be used again. Tongues will never be used in heaven. Prophecies will never be used in heaven. Never be be another preacher stand up and take a text and preach another sermon, because they are give on this side of eternity. And yet we know that charity then never fails. Now it means that charity never ceases to exist. For he says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So in contrast to the way Paul is contrasting love and spiritual gifts, he's showing the Corinthian people, which were emphasizing so much on their gifts. He said, the things that you're emphasizing so much on will one day come to a place of fruition, and they will never be again. You're emphasizing tongues, you're emphasizing prophecy, and emphasizing the three vocal gifts, and you're making such a main emphasis on them, when he said the main emphasis is going to be charity, which will never pass away. Now, he's not trying to take this contrast and say, well, because charity will never fail, you should forget about tongues. You should forget about healing. That's not what he's trying to do at all. And if we try to do that, we're doing the exact opposite of what Paul done. And the church said, amen. Amen. So he says, now charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease, or cease to exist, or make to refrain. Whether it shall be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now here again, he's not talking about that we'll be a bunch of ignoramuses in heaven. But the knowledge of many of the things that we have knowledge that we need right now, we will not need them in heaven. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, we know that knowledge is spoken of as a gift, as the word of wisdom is a gift, and faith is a gift. And as I mentioned to you last night, there are many men around this message, I'm convinced, as well as charismatic and many more, and they are actually gifted with knowledge. And many people think they're such revelated men, they don't understand the difference between revelation and knowledge, and they think that they're so revelated. It's not that they're revelated at all. They have the gift of knowledge, and they're able to put the word together, and they mesmerize people. Yet they don't have love. They don't even have one speck of supernatural in their life whatsoever. But yet many people prefer knowledge above the manifestation of truth. So they're just overwhelmed with men who can speak such profound knowledge. It's just a temporal gift like tongues or any other gift. I don't care how great a man is, how much he can speak, how great his knowledge is. If he don't have charity, he's still nothing. And the saints said, amen. Amen. Now what? So the contrasting of what Paul is trying to get the emphasis to the Corinthian church and to you and I as well is that we magnify that which is eternal. We implore God. We desire God to have these temporal things because we need them. If God added them to the body, surely God know that we wouldn't need them, but we want them in the proper order. Now notice again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 8, but for everyone given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now Paul is taking the transition or gifts and comparing them to that which is permanent and that which will not pass away. And he wants the saints to be able to put them in their proper order. So the spiritual gifts are valid unto the very end. Now I realize many folks think they're done away today, but you know what? As long as we're here in time and we're in the transitionary period from the time the church began until the church reaches this consummation, the gifts are here. We may not see them in the number that we want, but they are still here and they're alive in the body. Now, love never fails in the sense that it came from the image of God. And we are at our best when we are reflecting divine love through a rebirth. Now, remember, only the elect of God can love like this from the soul. Faith goes toward God. Hope goes toward that something that brings us a consolation within. Charity goes toward others. Now, these are the three greatest characters or traits of Christian elements that there is. These things are greater than tongues, prophecy, interpretation, or any of the rest. Now watch, in 1 Corinthians 13, 9, Paul goes on to explain why that gifts are the way they are in the temporary session. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We know in part. Now right here this morning, I am preaching in part. Now let me explain that to you so you'll understand. I am preaching preaching to the very best that I know of what I've looked at today, and I've looked at these scriptures and looked at these quotes, and I've spent only God knows how many hours, how many weeks in trying to put this together. But no doubt there are things that if I re-preach this again in 6 months or a year, that I will look back and see more about what I studied than what I see today. So I'm preaching, even though it's the best that I know, I am still preaching in part. And this is why you'd send Brother Branham or any other man that would stand and he would preach, and he would preach to the best part that he knew, and people try to pick it and rip it to shreds and do all that sort of thing, and they're only making fools out of themselves, because if they knew the truth, they would know that every man that has ever preached preaches in part. Every person that prophesies, prophesies in part. Come on, don't get quiet on me. You're sitting here today and you are believing in part. There ain't a one of you, I don't care how long that you've believed and how long you've stood for, that you are believing in perfection. You're only believing what God allows you to see. And in a month from now, no doubt you'll believe something else. And I'm glad, though, that we can, as God forgives the parts and progresses the parts, we move with the parts. That's right. So a person will speak and they will prophesy. Now, under tradition, if people would stand up and speak in tongues and someone else would prophesy, most generally, most people, you know, in looking at that in their mindset, according to what they perceived about prophecy, whether it is tongues and interpretation or someone giving tongues and another and prophesying, they will sit there and they will try to figure the amount of words that were said in those tongues. And if there was 15 words that was said in tongues, and then there was only 5 words that was said in the prophecy, they say, that's wrong. That ain't right. That ain't wrong. That ain't where it's supposed to be. There should have been 15 words. They don't even understand themselves. The one person might have been speaking in tongues, and the other one was prophesying, not interpreting. And they will sit there and misjudge the Spirit of God because their partial understanding of supernatural gifts prohibits them from receiving. So in their mind, they calculate this word, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then somebody will say, thus saith the Lord, this and this and this is going to happen, saith God. Oh, they say, that ain't right. That wasn't the Lord. He only said 7 words. That other they said 15. 2 different things altogether. So they sat there with partial understanding and misjudged what was even said and done, and the very thing might have been for them because they perceiving it in part. Listen, friends, this is the way we hear. We hear in part. We sing in part. We worship in part. We pray in part. But don't stop at just what parts you've got. Keep on growing as God gives the parts. Well, I'm not sure who that was for, but it was for somebody. Anyway, now he said we know in part, and of course, as we know in part, that is incomplete or it's not made perfect. This is why that the prophet of God would change in his understanding about things. And people want to pick and try to find fault. Brother Branham used to believe that many of the diseases, and he used to believe, you know, that the blood cell actually come from Mary. He used to believe many, many things. And people get mad on the hornet whenever you bring that out. Why? This message was unfolded that way. I'm glad it unfolds that way. That's the way I came to God. I came to God believing there's 3, but I don't believe there's 3 no more. I got baptized the first time in titles, but I ain't baptized that way now. I was baptized in part. I prayed in part. I worshiped in part. Oh, but I'm longing for that which is perfect to come, when that which is in part will be done away with. Now this is why that Paul is showing this. Now even though charity is complete within itself, even though many of you have it today, you're not complete in its fulfillment in your life. Unlike gifts, they are not complete even when they're finished. They're not perfect. Tongues will never be perfect. I preached for 40 years of my life. I've never preached a perfect sermon. And I never will. That's pretty discouraging. Now you imagine what you've done all of your life and you've never done one job perfect, and I never will. I will never. And let me tell the rest of you preachers, you never will either. Why? Because my gift is only in part. But charity is not in part. It is the capstone. Now watch this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now abideth or liveth or continues on without ceasing. Amen. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. But is that the way we view it? How many of you would think a man is greater gifted by being able to love his enemies or a man who can heal the sick and perform signs? Praise the Lord. Now faith, of course, is the aspect concerning that which is future or that which is unseen. Hope will give us the expectancy of that which is not yet seen, which is a little different than faith. But charity is our relation and how we relate to others, which is actually greater than faith or hope. Oh my. Now, these principles are implanted in every person that is truly born of the Spirit of God. Now, I know sometimes that we tend to downplay hope. We tend to look at Sister Hope and make her very frail and very, very timid and very shy. And truly, that is exactly what her attributes are. But yet, hope is actually greater than tongues. Hope is greater than knowledge. Hope is greater than prophecy. Hope is greater than wisdom. Now, you look at how Paul categorizes these three things, and he chooses faith. I mean, I have no problem in understanding why he would choose faith. This is the very basis of our coming to the Lord. And everything we receive from God comes through the channel of faith. Looking at charity being the choice, I can certainly understand that. But why would you put little hope in between faith and charity? Why would you choose hope, which is the greatest enemy that faith has? Think about it. Why would you put hope in the category of these mighty valors of God in the child of God's life and group hope with faith and charity? Look at the word hope. It means the root of the word in the Anglo-Saxon, which is the English language, means to open the eyes wide and watch for what is to come. Now this is what hope means, to open the eyes wide. Now listen, she's not faith, and she's not to replace faith, she's to work with faith. Now listen, oh glory. The root of the word in Anglo-Saxon means to open the eyes wide and for what? Watch for what is to come. Now where does she get the capability to know what is to come? That's where her strong sister, faith, comes in. Now hope within herself does not have the capability of being able to reach into the beyonds, into the unseen world of the mystical supernatural dwelling place of God. Hope does not have that ability to reach out there and make it so real, but it just so happens that faith can. But faith also is strong and burly. And faith, listen to me now, faith has the potential of being able to lose an element of sensitivity. Faith has the potential of becoming hard and harsh sometimes. I kind of figured y'all look at me this way this morning. Now watch. Hope will enlighten us and open our eyes wide in order to look for something that is to come. It's like a child, when you tell that child you got a gift or something or another for that child, and that child is under such anticipation, and the child, because the child has faith in you, in trusting you as father, grandfather, whatever you are, mother, then that child's faith, coupled with hope, it is not faith that is illuminating the child's face. It's hope of what you're going to give them. But faith, oh glory, faith in you is what knows and brings what that child knows will come to pass. So faith and hope linked together knows that they're going to get what you promised them. But hope is not what puts the trust part. No, it's faith what illuminates their eyes, but it's both of them together. Most, Brother Bannon, the experiences, he says it this way. Most of the people, he said, just have hope. He's talking about the prayer line when they come to be prayed for. Oh, I believe I'll get it. We'll get well. 999 out of every 1,000. 999 out of every 1,000 that passes by don't know the first principle of faith. Now, I hate to be the odd guy, but that don't fit me. Come on. I understand faith. You sure are bragging. It runs in my family to understand faith. Would you like for me to start with my genealogy? By faith, my brother offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, my brother was translated. By faith, my brother built an ark. By faith, my father offered his son Isaac. By faith, my father went down to the land of Egypt. By faith, my brother Moses forsook it. Should I go on? Now, friends, we ought to be rejoicing today. Look at the year this was preached, 1948. We've grown. Now notice, Brother Bram talking about people come to prayer line, they don't know the first principle of faith. That's right. They have hope instead of faith. Faith is positive. Now in this, we have to be so careful to make sure that in reading quotes like this, that we do not downplay hope altogether. And make her as if though we don't need her at all. As a matter of fact, when you're born again, you are birthed to hope. The Lord gave me that a while ago when I was washing my hands in the bathroom. I about tore the wallpaper off the wall or the sheetrock. I thought, Lord have mercy. As we are birthed to believe, we are birthed to hope, and we are birthed to love. This is why those who have the new birth, it is their nature. This is why we can love. This is why we can believe. This is why we can hope. It's not wrong to hope in the right place. Watch this. I love this one. I found this morning. Faith is burly. My, how I like to think of faith. Hope, faith, and charity. Those three things. And hope, what a beautiful thing hope is. Little timid hope. Lovely and sweet as she is. Yet, she's the greatest enemy faith has. Wow. Little, shy, timid, teeny, teensy, weensy, hope. And she's the greatest enemy that faith, even more than feelings and reoccurring symptoms. Hope is a greater enemy than faith. Well, why would Paul then categorize hope right between faith and charity? You see, hope is faith's greatest enemy. When you are trying to use hope in faith's place. When hope is used in her place, neither faith nor charity can take her place. Praise be to God. Now notice, so we've got faith, hope, and charity. Now let's move them around. Let's put hope over here first. Now, if we try to come to God by hope, well, I hope He'll save me. I hope there's a heaven. I hope there's a God. I hope that He'll forgive me. I hope you will not get off the ground. But if you put faith first and say, I know there's a God. I know Jesus died on the cross. What is that faith? Then you believe by faith. Is it still wrong to have hope? Not as long as you've got her here. But if you put her over here, she's in the wrong place. So you got to have faith here, hope here, and charity here. It's the Trinity of God in your soul. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now notice he said the greatest enemy faiths God is hope, because a person becomes so hopeful till they leave away from faith. Now notice how he explains this about hope. Now hope will agree with the Bible. Well, that's good. But that ain't enough. Hope will agree with the Bible. Hope will say it is true. Hope will say, I believe every bit of it. Whoa, we'd make hope a sister in the message, wouldn't we? I believe God. Oh, it's a word of God. I believe that God will keep his promise. Hope believes all of that. But hope then says, now I believe that God will heal, but look at my condition. Uh-oh. Now's where hope begins to show her timidity. Now's where hope begins to come into that shy little backward type of thing, because conditions and pains and symptoms, little hope just backs up over in the corner and says, I just can't take it. I got prayed for last night and I feel worse this morning. Dear God, I'm afraid you might have Brother Donnie pray for me. I'm afraid I'll die. I get worse every time he prays for me. But hope reaches out and says, glory to God. I'm going back up for prayer again today if I need to. I'm going to do whatever I want to. Faith stands there all bold and rough. Hair on its chest. Hope it looked funny with hair on her chest. That don't fit hope. She's timid. She's shy. But faith is burly. Rough. Anybody see the devil? Which door he went out of? You come out that window, devil. Come on and you're fight like a man. Hope said, I'll leave you to it, faith. Now faith, hope will look at the condition. Faith, don't look at it. Faith comes around and, oh, I don't care nothing about conditions. God said so, it's mine. You see, faith's birdie, as I once said, faith has hair on the chest. When it stands up and pulls its big muscles out, and faith will show you. Faith's a professional weightlifter. Look at that. Wow. What an example. Man. Flatter than a pancake, eh? You got to have an imagination now whenever I say faith muscles. Faith will pull that muscle up and get out of the way, devil. I'll box you right in the mouth. Hope said, amen, faith, I'm behind you. Way behind you in the safety zone. That's just not who hope is. You understand, children? Oh, would to God we could understand that even about the body and about preachers. I would to God we'd stop trying to make everybody like one preacher. God made some bold. He made some timid. He made some shy. But if God made them all, let's accept the ones God give us. Amen. Hallelujah. My. Faith comes around, I don't care nothing about condition. God said so, it's mine. You see, faith's birdie, as I once said, faith has hair on the chest. When it stands up and pulls its big muscles out, everything else vanishes away. Just takes and flies away. When faith really takes a hold, nothing else stands. Hope stands up and the devil just... You gotta be kidding me. Faith says, sit down and shut up. But now listen what your same prophet said about faith. But you've got to have hope and charity. Very next paragraph. If you've got real burly faith and ain't got no love with it, you'll ruin your influence before people. If you haven't got love mixed with it, you seen people real burly. What would say, excuse the expression, bulldog faith. Grab a hold of it, but it's so rough with it. I'm sure I've been that way at times. Burly, rough. This is why I need more love. It don't tame faith down. It just mixes her up real good. How would y'all want a cake? How would you like a cake just made out of egg yolk? Oh, Lord, I'm about to get sick. I can't stand eggs no way. A good, consecrated Christian ain't just full of faith. They've got faith, hope, and charity. Peter, James, John. Notice Brother Bim says, but just so rough in it. But you see, you do that, it hasn't got the kindness here to move with it. But what we need is hope, faith, and charity. Isn't that right? Hope, faith, and charity together. God help our church to have it like that. To have that combination. Praise be to God. Notice again, he says, faith does the right job. Hope hopes for it. But faith is the product. Faith really does it. See, we have lots of hope, but not much faith. We want to change from hope today to positive faith. Now hang on tight. This is how you're going to get it. And there's only one way we can get positive faith. That's by positive thinking of positive things. One way. You can pray to your blue in the face and feeding on negative things and thinking on negative things. You'll pray till you pass out. You'll never move into the realm of positive faith. There's one way to get positive faith, and that's thinking on positive things. Praise be to God. Oh my. Again, in hearing him, he says, looks like we're going to have a little problem here. I'll read it to you. This is the thing that's on the side. It always appeared to me that Peter represented faith. James represented hope. And John represented charity. Now, how about Jesus going up on the Mount of Transfiguration? And Jesus took three witnesses with him. Those witnesses were going to represent the three major elements that the new birth would produce in the mystical body. Faith, hope, and charity. Notice he says, now that is wrapped up, he said, in every ministry that comes from God. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith to perform his word. Hope for the people and love for all. Oh my. Faith, hope, and charity. Again, he says, now on this occasion, God chose three witnesses. He took aside Peter, James, and John. And if you notice always, when he went to do something great, he took those three witnesses. So if Jesus used the same three witnesses, Peter, James, and John. If Jesus used the same three witnesses, what witness will he call in the rapture? He will call the same representations of what those men bear identity of, faith, hope, and charity. Amen. It was faith, hope, and charity on Mount Transfiguration. It will be faith, hope, and charity on Mount Zion for the showdown of the rapture. Praise the Lord. Except now it won't be three men, but every person that goes in it will have them three. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. He said he took those three same witnesses, one to why, Peter, James, and John. Hope, faith, and charity. The three greatest gifts of God. Hope, faith, and charity. The three greatest gifts of God? The three greatest gifts of God. Faith, hope, and charity. Come on out, Sister Charity. Come on out. We're giving you your place this morning. Don't hide. Don't be ashamed because you have hope. Just be ashamed if you try to change places with faith. As long as you've got it like this, she is necessary for your journey. Oh my, let's look a little this morning. Maybe you can write these down if you'd like, or the scriptures will be available on the website later. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. Why didn't Paul say faith? Why do I need hope? Part of the elements that makes you a Trinity. Amen. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Well, if hope won't make me ashamed, why should I be ashamed of her? Amen. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans chapter 8 verse 24. For we are saved by hope. Oh my. Now notice this. This is not conflict or contrast, of course, that we are saved by grace. Look in the context in which Paul is speaking. He said we're not saved from our sins by hope. You're actually saved and kept through trials by hope. Preserved, kept, sustained by the gem in our trials by hope. What does hope do? Hope's looking to the future. She's inspired. Amen. She's inspired by the strong element of faith. But it's your personal something. What is faith? Your faith in God. What's hope? His deposit of something in you which keeps you looking for the future. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hope is a very complex little lady. She's made up of an earnest desire and an earnest expectation. She looks, she anticipates, she waits, she hopes. Watch Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, why can't I use my faith there? Because faith won't work there. Faith tells me there's something in the future. My faith tells me there's a rapture. But I wait for it with hope. I've got Peter and I've got James and I'm working on John. Peter, faith; James, hope; John, charity. I said, I've got Peter and I've got James and I'm working on more of John. I mean, he's more of John. So what does it do? Faith tells me it's there, and hope anticipates this might be the day. Hope keeps looking for. So if I lose my hope, and I've still got faith, and I've still got charity. So I jump from 1 to 3, from 3 to 1, from 1 to 3, from 3 to 1. But I'm losing something within me. What is it? Little timid, shy hope. Romans chapter 15 verse 13. Now the God of hope. So apparently God himself is not ashamed to be identified with little shy, timid hope. That he would allow himself to be called the God of. Now notice, God is not faith. God is not hope. But God is love. But he allowed himself to be called the God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Don't you see what hope does? Hope gives us the joy and the patience that our faith tells us is coming, it's coming, it's coming. But God never made faith to stand alone, like he never made Donnie Reagan to stand and be the only preacher we need in the message. Or Tim Pruitt or any other preacher. There's only one man all the bride will hear, and that's a prophet of God. All the rest of them are pastors and teachers and so on. Come on, children. My. Galatians chapter 5 verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now watch them when they're coupled together here. As many of the historians and the writers down through the ages called faith, hope, and charity the three sisters of grace. Watch how they are linked together in Scripture. Oh, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Do you understand the Lord Jesus' inheritance is you? It takes hope. Not only my faith believing I'm bride, not only the Song of Solomon scriptures believing God wants me to have it, but my hope tells me I will be that kind of believer. I will be that kind of person that I will satisfy and give my Lord an inheritance. He could have asked for heavens. He could have asked for universes. He could have asked for whatever. But He wanted you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope. Why not the faith of glory? Why not the charity of glory? Don't you leave out my little sister. Christ in you, the hope. So what do we look for, Brother Jim? We look and we hear the word being preached and we see ourselves falling short of the glory of God. And we say, Lord, I need to move up. I need to move up. What is it that keeps you coming back through them doors? It's not just your faith. It's hope. It's hope. You just come in and sit down and take your seat and say, well, I know he's going to preach on me. He always does. And if he don't, whoever's preaching will. They might as well call this hide skinning instead of Happy Valley Church. But I'm going anyway. Well, go ahead, Brother Nye. Take your text on me. It's easy to become discouraged when you feel like you're getting whoopings all the time. Well, little old Hope, she drives you in and pull up out in the parking lot, park your car. Oh, somebody ain't got your spot. You back up and you come in. Little timid, shy Hope, she'll bring you on in and set you down and get you a songbook or Bible or something, set their message book, reading through it. Sure. Hope don't say a whole lot. She's just kind of quiet and sitting there. Faith is real burly. Hallelujah! Glory! Amen! Glory to God! Faith can't sit still in the church, you know, even before church starts.
That's right.
Glory. Hope just says, Lord, I don't know what you got for me today, but I know you got something. The whole service may not be for me, Lord. It may not be but 5 minutes, but I'm going to enjoy that five and I'm going to savor it. I'm not sure what you put on the man of God's heart. I don't know which direction he's going to go, but Lord, I know today is my day. Because if I only get one word, it was my day. If you get one word from God out of this service, consider yourself very blessed. There are billions of people on the earth today that will not hear from God today. If you get two words, you are blessed. So faith is out chomping at the bits. No doubt faith gets on Hope's nerves sometimes. And I'm sure that Hope gets on Faith's nerves. And charity has to calm them both down.
Don't you see why you need all of this in your life?
So the songs are being sung. Oh, he's coming back again. Amen. Amen. Little hope say, glory. Faith said, hallelujah. He's coming back. Hallelujah. I already knew that. And hope said, but I needed to hear it again. I needed to be encouraged, Faith. I hope you understand. Sometimes when you go to church, faith is the main source. God's ministering to you. And there's other services God ain't dealing with your faith. He's ministering to your hope. And there's other times when you come to the house of God, God's dealing with your charity. It's just wonderful when he can hit all three. Hallelujah. But I know one thing, he'll hit them exactly right. As long as we've got men of God that are led by the Holy Ghost to be able to minister to all our needs to make us a complete being. Oh, notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of your salvation. So here you've got your breastplate with faith and love. But what if your enemy is specialized in headshots? And you left your helmet at home. Because you look down on hope. You sneer at hope. And your enemy specializes in headshots. I knew a man out in Arizona years ago. Stephen Smith took me to his place. A real famous world-renowned hunter. Got to hunt all over the world. It was an honor for me to meet him as far as a man of that caliber. He shot Cape Buffalo. He shot elk. He shot, you know, the big five. Shot all the major big, big animals around the world. And he used nothing but a .243 caliber. But his specialty was, he shot every one of them right there. Cape Buffalo is so thick that you hit them with certain. I saw Brother Biscoe shoot one with a 375 H&H. 300 grain bullet. Knocked it plumb down. Gushing blood out of her side. She got up and run off. We followed her for miles and never did find her. They got plating on the front part of their shoulders here and there. But none of them has it right there. So this guy was world renowned for shooting them right there. It made no difference how strong they were here. It made no difference how strong they were in the rib cage. Every animal is vulnerable there. You might have such faith, I believe this and I do this and other, but don't leave your helmet at home. If the devil snatches your hope, you can have such faith. You say, I believe God. I know God can do it and I love. What in the world's wrong with me? You took your helmet off. Oh my, oh, hallelujah. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father who hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope. Amen. Through grace. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't just look for his coming by faith. We look for it with hope. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You mean to tell me Peter would put the little sister beside the strong, muscular faith? Yeah. Why? We need both. Let's go to one of the most famous scriptures in the entirety of the canon of scripture itself, dealing with faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance. No! It can't be there. And it's in the same verse. The same powerful verse we've quoted all of our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, faith gives reality or substance to that which you are hoping for. But if you're not hoping for something, how can faith give substance to something you're not hoping for? Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped. Look at the meaning of this word now. Trust to wait with joy and full confidence. Hope is not believing God will do it. Hope is not saying, yes, that's a promise of God. That's what faith is doing. Faith is giving your hearts joy and assurance and confidence. I know it's not very nice for a preacher to have spells. But this morning, about 20 after 9, I thought I was ready yesterday for the service today. And as I got to sin a little bit more this morning, I got up and I just happed upon this field. And the Lord dropped a few little grains of handful on purpose. And I literally thought I was going to have to call a remodeling crew downstairs. I thought, I've got to be wise now. I've got to be sensible. I can't let all this anointing. I don't want to share it with the saints. I want you to listen. You say, tell us. I'm building your hope. You see, your faith in me knows I'll tell you if I live. But your hope is chomping into bits. Your eyes are getting wider and wider. Why? Your hope is building. Do I know he's coming? Yes. Do I believe he's coming? Yes. Oh, but when he comes in among us and anoints us with a song or whatever more, what does it do? It so charges our hope. And faith don't feel offended by it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word translated substance was a legal term which stood for documents proving one's ownership of a piece of property. Oh, Jesus. The word translated substance was a legal term which stood for documents proving one's ownership of some piece of property. So faith is the document. Amen. Faith actually gives you the substance in your heart that you're redeemed, that you're saved, that you're going to heaven, you're going to be in the bride. Faith gives you the legal document. Hallelujah.
Faith gives you the legal document. You're healed. Your family's going to be saved. Faith gives you the substance.
Substance, a legal term which stood for documents proving one's ownership of some piece of property. We use the term title or deed to describe such documents today.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about a title deed. And faith, once you've received that revelation, you've received the title deed of your soul. You have been loosed from the bondage of sin, and you've got the substance of the new birth.
When you was lost, Satan held that claim on you. But when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, put the documents under your arm. Hallelujah. Satan is not my master. He is not my honor. So faith is the substance of things hoped. Now let's take our little sister out of this verse, shall we? Let's remove Sister Hope out of that verse. We don't need you. We're in the message. We're deep, deep people. You go over here and sit down. Now let's read this verse without her. Faith is the substance of things, for the evidence of things not seen. Makes no sense, does it? That's why a Christian makes no sense without hope. Take hope out of your life and you'll make no sense. So faith gives reality or substance. Faith gives the legal documents to hope. So faith goes out there, pop, 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 takes the documents away from the devil and hands it over to little shy, timid home. She says, thank you. Thank you. Faith says, is that all you got to say? That's just my way of saying it. I ain't got hair on my chest the way you do. So hope sticks the title deed under her arm and says, oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love story up there on high. And faith just looks over at her and says, it takes so little to make her happy.
Faith's goals is moving mountains. Faith's goals is walking on water. Faith's goals is mending things. And little old shy, timid hope, she just says, it don't take that much for me.
I watch documentaries, you know, the state parks here in America. And you see in Yosemite and all these parks. And I just mesmerized by the beauty of the trees and the rocks and all that. And then I get more mesmerized as you see people climbing up them rocks. And you think, what kind of nut? I mean, what kind of person? I'm glad it don't take that much to thrill me in life. Some of you folks that want to get off and jump off of a bridge and jump off of a bungee cord, please go to a psychopath. You got to have that much to bring you. I'll tell you, I'm a simple type of a person, but it don't take that much to give me happiness in life. And that's sort of the way hope is in the natural comparison. Hope is not the one to snatch a heart out mountain, get out of my way. Here I'm coming. She's one of the shy, timid, sitting back in the corner. But when she's got that title deed. And what she does, she lays there between love and faith. And she pulsates this atmosphere whenever your faith is out there supercharging. Boy, you're just plowing down, knocking down mountains. And then you just come back and say, I'm wore out. Then a little hope comes over and says, maybe I can be of help to you. It's all right. We're going to endure. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to endure. How would you like to be in the hospital after having some major surgeon? A nurse walked in. He weighed 732 pounds, had hands about the size of a ham on a hog. Come in there, grabs you, rolls you around. I wouldn't want no nurse like that. I said, send that old boy down to the cleaning department. I want a nurse with a tender hand. Let me tell you something. Hang on to me now, church. Sometimes we try to do tenderness with the hand of faith. Hand is rough. The hand of faith can be gruff. It can be very, very starchy and rough. And we need hope. We preachers not only need to preach faith, we need to preach hope to the people. We can preach faith so high and so strong that it's not faith they're needing. It's the encouragement of the title deed of their hope that they can do it. Oh man, let me find a place to stop. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the word evidence is translated from a verb which means to convince. This is what little sister hope does for you. Evidence. The evidence of things not seen. Oh my. Hallelujah. So here's this mighty power, faith. And faith believes what hope sets in order for faith to grasp. Faith is the substance of things hoped, past tense. Faith is the things evidence, the substance of things hoped, past tense, for.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good.
Praise God. Let's stand. Let's stand. I've only got a few more things to finish up on hope. Can I finish it?
Yes.
Just a couple minutes. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19, which hope we have. You're kidding me.
Yes,
hope as an anchor of the soul? Praise the Lord, saints. Look how we've overlooked this little helmet. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast. That's when she's here. Now put her here. Oh no. But when you put her here, notice the weaker is put between the two stronger. God knows where to put folks, don't he? Even know where to put hope. Can you imagine putting little shy, timid hope? Now what if God would have called 12 pastors in the beginning and made them disciples? When Jesus would have sent it up and they'd all caught the Holy Ghost, they'd have started 12 churches and the gospel never went very far at all. But he didn't call 12 pastors, did he? He called 12 apostles, which means one sent. He knows exactly where to put each of us. Oh, you say, I want to be a great so-and-so-and-so. But what if God made you the middle of the sandwich? Y'all like a bread sandwich? Really? Why? You want something in the middle, do you? How come we've been trying to make a bread sandwich out of faith and charity? My. Paul says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Hope. actually helps usher in the soul into the veil. What are these three graces? Faith unites us to Christ. Our hope brightens the present by looking to the future. Hope brightens the present by looking to the future. And what is love? Love is properly the image of God. When these elements of God are birthed in us, not trained, not taught, not learned, but birthed, we have the image of God in our souls. Make us like God. God is not faith. God is not hope, but God is love. But we need faith, which leads to hope, which leads to charity. How many wants it? Love's office is to give. Faith and hope are exercised in reception and anticipation of what God will do. Oh, children, I appreciate Him, don't you?
Amen.
Forgive me. Forgive me as your pastor. If I've not brought to you the balance of faith, hope, and charity, I've never done it intentionally, but as I preach in part, all I can do is bring the part that I see. But now that I see another part, guess what? I'm going to preach that other part. Hallelujah. And I will expect you to get on this highway with me. And let's move forward. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you today. I just don't know what to say. I hope that we always remain teachable, Lord. I hope we never, ever develop an arrogant, know-it-all attitude to what we think. We don't know anymore. We've arrived. Lord Jesus, may we understand even today this which we have heard. It's only been spoken in part. A man can only speak what he sees and understands. We know that Brother Branham said he wouldn't even preach on hell for a long time because he couldn't understand it. So the part that he looked at wasn't enough for him to preach on it. It was such a tiny part that he couldn't understand it, so he didn't preach it. So Lord, help us that we will walk in the parts. Forgive me, Lord, for downplaying little hope. And I know I have. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make her insignificant. I didn't mean to make her needless and of no avail in our lives. And if I have, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we walk out of here today to have a greater respect and love and honor for that little shy, timid part in our new birth called hope. Praise God. Even though we may have thought less of her, and even though we might not have acknowledged her, she's been there in every born-again heart anyhow. It was her who helped encourage us along. It was her who brightened today by looking at tomorrow. It was her that when we was down and discouraged, we thought it was our faith all the time, when it wasn't. It wasn't our faith. It was a little hope doing it. It was hope that was looking at the future and saying, this can't go on much longer. Amen. It was hope. Oh, hallelujah. And then faith, what does it do? It brings the title deed. Glory to God. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, with the evidence of things not seen. Thank you, Lord. If there's a person standing here today or hearing my voice out on the internet, Lord God, may they find that place. May the title deed return to their soul. May Satan lose all claims, stricken off by the new birth. May we take our breastplate, oh God, of faith and love. But may we not leave our little helmet of this hope at home. Charity, a wonderful thing. Faith, a powerful thing. Hope don't move mountains. Hope don't stand there and be able to perform great miracles like faith can. But she's there day by day,
She's our Mondays, her Fridays. She's the little thing that takes us through. Hallelujah. It wouldn't do her no good to speak to mountains because that's not who she is. Faith is the one who speaks to mountains and the mountains tremble and shake. But hope is the one who day by day, if those mountains just fall off a rock at a time, hope is the one that keeps on saying, hang on, it's going to fall. Hang on, it's going to fall. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We worship you, Lord God. Can we just lift our hands in the presence of the King today? Oh, children, take your armament. Take the Trinity of God. Not Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but faith, hope, and charity. With this in your soul, the prophet called it the greatest gifts. It's greater than tongues. It's greater than wisdom. It's greater than knowledge. It's greater than memory. I know you may think it's simple today and you think I'm such a simple preacher. But let me tell you something. According to what God's prophet said, it is the three greatest gifts that God can impart to the body. You do whatever you want to with it, but to me, I want them three. Not because they're the greatest, but because it's the capstone that's going to lead me out of here in a body change. Hallelujah. What can stop us with faith, hope, and charity? Nothing. Nothing. You are an undefeatable army. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we magnify your name today. Oh Lord, come by this way, would you, Lord? Minister to the needs of your children. May our hope for that which is scriptural. That which is true, that faith can give substance to that which we hope for. Hallelujah. Then substance, the clear deed. Glory to God. Glory to God. When we get down and when we get weary, may little shy hope bring the encouragement, bring the uplifting. May she look to tomorrow and bring joy into today. Hallelujah. May she look to a well body. Hallelujah. And give hope and courage and joy to a sick body to keep pressing on. When faith will grab a hold of the promise and say, it's yours. Take a hold of it. Yet maybe we're still weak. But hope will say, come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Have hope. Have hope. It's okay. You can do it. Put that helmet on your head. You can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you lay your hand over on one another there, please? Glory to God. Lord, children, what have we heard today? You believe what you want. I think we've heard from the very heart of God. We have heard from the very image of God himself, for God is love. Heavenly Fathers, we have our hands laid one upon the other. You're the only one here today who knows every need of every individual. Maybe folks outstream in the service in different parts of the world. Lord, may the presence of God not be limited just here to this building. But Lord, may you go over Norway to my dear friend, Brother Ryerson. Lord, may you go down into South Africa. May you go down into Brazil. Lord, may you go wherever they are, wherever their needs are. We know you don't love us. We're not no more special than the rest of your bride around the world. Lord, may you go to the needs of your children today, Father. May you minister to us, Lord. Lord, may little hope, may hope, Father, something that we would have maybe not quite looked at as being a fragrance that the north wind would have called and blowed into your presence. We might have thought hope was so little and insignificant, but may we look at her different after today. Oh, glory. May the north wind come and blow across my helmet, as it were, Lord. May my fragrance of hope be blown over into the presence of the King. Hallelujah. Oh, truly, I believe you yourself manifested this trait of hope when you were upon the earth. Hallelujah. Help us today, Lord, for those that are sick. Maybe we got those that are troubled about a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife that's backslid, cold, indifferent. Lord, they don't know what they're going to do in their home, their bills, whatever more. Lord, and they're believing. Father, maybe they need hope. That little shy, timid attribute. Maybe they've thought that hope is so shy and so timid she wasn't even needful. And maybe they more tend to gravitate toward the burly aspect of faith. And to them, hope is too weak. She may be the very key to some of our deliverance right here today. It may not be the great, powerful, burly faith that'll come over and stick the key in the door and kick the door open. It may be a little shy, timid hope. And she'll rise up and put the key in the door. And when she does, and she ain't even strong enough on her own to kick the door like faith. She ain't even powerful enough to shake the gates of hell. But she just begins to push, and a ray of light comes into our dark sickness. Glory to God. A little ray of hope, a little ray of light. And faith takes that ray of light and makes a substance out of it. The things hoped for. And slips the title deed to our health under our arm. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for faith, hope, and charity. Peter, James, and John. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May my life be filled with faith, hope, and charity. Grant it, Lord. And the saints said,
amen.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now abideth three. Faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. May God so cap off our lives that people will be able to see a living tabernacle of the living God. Don't expect them to honor you. Don't expect them to receive what you've got to say, for many of them won't. But that's not what counts. What counts is you are the reflected image of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, let's sing a little something before we go. You love Him with all your hearts, children. Oh, ain't it been good to be in church this weekend? Sit at the table of the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are privileged today to sit in the presence of the King. Let me read this to you here before you sing. As the bride speaks, the Song of Solomon, we'll get to it, but chapter 5, verse 14, she says, His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. Then they ask her, chapter 6, verse 1, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? Foolish virgins. Churches that don't know him the way she does. Verse 2, my beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices to feed in the gardens, to gather the lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Now he's been silent, but now he answers Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus being overcome by the bride looking at him? Death couldn't overcome him. Hell couldn't overcome him. The grave couldn't overcome him. The devil couldn't overcome him. But your love for him is so powerful. He's overwhelmed. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. Sing something, Harry. Let's just stop. Lord Jesus.
I stand in awe.
Lord Jesus. Oh, my God.
In whom the wisdom of the ages lies.
The raging of the seas
subside.
The living sacrifice,
my only source of life.
Sing it now.
My hope is in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This time on and ever.
See what the Bible says about Abraham, who against all hope believed in hope. Praise be to God. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. I hope to see you Wednesday night. Go in the fear of God. My hope is in the Lord. This time on.
This time on and evermore.
tender mercies come with every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness, and those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. Is in the Lord from this time on. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord this time.